from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock. That's what we call a sack lunch.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Powers on Fridays joins us for most of this hour, and Brad, I'm assuming we'll be predominantly football like we always are, but I do want to start at least and maybe get this out of the way. If Kentucky does indeed hire Mark Pope, that is where the momentum is, nothing official. If that ends up being the coach that they hire, your response?
Oh, wow. I mean, obviously, I mean, from the fans' expectations, which are usually, unrealistic, no matter who it is in these coaching searches, whether it's football or pro or, P5 or G5, I mean, it's going to be a huge disappointment when of course, you heard names like Hurley and Billy Donovan and obviously Drew from Baylor quote-unquote settle with Mark Pope. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be disappointed. A lot of question marks. I mean, the expectation is I don't think he'll recruit at the level Coach Cal did. But I got to tell you, I mean, I'm obviously living in Vegas the last, almost decade. I mean, I'm more familiar and I catch more BYU games than I would if I lived on the East Coast. They've been very well coached the last 5 years since he's been there. And X's and O's wise, I think at least from what I saw last 5 years at BYU, I think X and O's, he was better than Coach Cal the last 5 years.
Now, he was a 6'10 player at Kentucky on that 96 team. He transferred from Washington, but he was more of a European style. He wasn't a back-to-the-basket 6'10 post. He was a 6'10 face-the-basket shooter who could shoot with some depth as well. Is that his offense in general?
You know what, I don't follow college basketball enough, Bill, to say, this is the exact style that he has there. I'm not familiar enough in that regard. I'm sure, obviously, with a lot more talent at his disposal at Kentucky compared to BYU, I'm sure he'll switch it up a little bit.
But you think, just from a on-the-court presentation, he looks like a guy who coaches a well-coached team?
Well, I mean, in three of the last 5 years, let's use KenPom, which is a power rating. Basically, right. The biggest power rating that sets the market. I mean, in three of the last 5 years, BYU's KenPom power rating was above Kentucky. That should tell you all you need to know there.
Wow. All right. We got that off the plate there. If somebody wants to bring it back up, that's fine. I just wanted to get that done. And if anything else materializes this hour with that topic, that's fine. No worries. Oh, well, I might as well. Before I get to spring games, what you've seen, and then there's a really lengthy list of games tomorrow. Can Coach Cal or will Coach Cal recharge the batteries at Arkansas? I think he probably does, but get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, famous quote. I mean, I talked to the team. There is no team. I mean, I got to see how he fills out the roster for the upcoming season. Obviously, Arkansas was a big disappointment this past year. Cal's been a disappointment at Kentucky the last 5 years, to say the least. I could be a little pessimistic on that. I think he'll be okay. I mean, he'll certainly rile up the fan base a little bit. I'm sure that at least early on, he'll be able to steal some prospects that they don't normally get there. But I've been down on Coach Cal for a long time, so I'll be a little bit more pessimistic than you. I don't see them automatically hanging some SEC championship banners.
Before we get to Alabama has the spring game, Ole Miss is going to do more of a fun, festive atmosphere, 7-on-7, hot dog eating, fun stuff for Baby Kiff. Tennessee has theirs, LSU. I'm going to leave some out, but I guess Ohio State coming up. What have you seen to date? Has anything stood out to you or a couple of notes from spring games? Because you watch them a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I haven't seen Auburn and NC State yet, but I did watch three of them. Clemson, I really dived into their spring game. It's just one practice. It's just one scrimmage. A lot of guys are out, but I don't see it there offensively yet, especially from Cade Klubnik at quarterback. Just did not make the strides that you would expect with a kid going into his junior year with the type of profile that he had coming out of high school. And having a full season of starting experience, I didn't necessarily like what I saw there. Did like what I saw up front. Sammy Brown was as impressive as you can be as a true freshman. I mean, going to probably be a starter and a quality starter day one. I saw enough of him to say, hey, that's a hell of a player there already. Five-star linebacker, true freshman, Sammy Brown. You know, big takeaways. No, nothing like, I changed the team's power rating significantly. Nothing yet. There is, it's not like I do it after every spring game that I watch, and I'll end up watching like 60 of them, but there's certainly four or five teams where they'll have something or not have something that I thought that they had, and I'll change them off of that one scrimmage.
Alabama is tomorrow. I think everybody wants to see the performance of the quarterbacks, plural. How does that look?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Alabama quarterback position, if I had to stack rank position groups across the country on any team that I need to look at in the spring, that would be certainly in the top five. Ty Simpson is what I've heard has played well. I don't think it's a done deal that Milroe is slam dunk going to be the starter, although he's probably the overwhelming favorite. I need to see that game tomorrow. It's on ESPN. I'll be in Columbus for the Buckeye game. I'll certainly be – there's a lot of anticipation for that one. Not only that position group, but multiple ones. I mean, I've heard a lot of good things about the freshmen, the defensive secondary for Alabama, and how much they're going to be able to contribute. Individual players, there's 6 foot five, true freshmen coming in a wide receiver that will give them a different look than what they've had the last few years. A lot, almost the whole operation. I just want to see what it looks like at Alabama. Not that I'm going to be changing their power rating too much, but I do want to see what it looks like without Nick Saban there for the first time in nearly two decades.
We were talking with Jonah Booker, Jay Book, of Bucknuts yesterday, and this is before they did the spaces with Ryan Day, and he says it is absolutely legit that Devin Brown is competing to win that job and has a good chance, decent chance to do it over Will Howard.
I don't think that's great for Ohio State, if that's the case. just being honest. I wasn't a Will Howard fan, and everyone, like, you know, I know some people in my circles, like, why are you so, you know, vehemently, Georgia's won, and you're not giving much credit to Ohio State and their roster. It's because I don't like the quarterback situation for Ohio State this year. And, boy, if Devin Brown's a starter, nothing against that kid. But from what I saw, I don't know if you can win a national championship with Devin Brown as your quarterback. That's just from what I've seen so far.
And Carson Beck might be the best returning quarterback out there.
Yes, obviously with Quinn Ewers, but I like Carson Beck a little bit more. So, yep. So that's the difference to me. That's why Georgia's one in my power rankings and Ohio State's two, is just that little that position at quarterback. I think overwhelmingly I like Georgia's quarterback situation better.
Tennessee spring game, I'm sure will be a lot of vertical, Nico throwing and the other quarterbacks. Did you get enough of Nico in the Iowa game to make definitive analysis, or do you need more?
I'm always going to say, give me the larger sample size. But, I mean, Iowa's a very quality defense. I mean, they obviously leave a lot to be desired offensively. But, man, defensively, Iowa gave them a good look and obviously passed the test there. I mean, the market, if you go back to what did the market want, you know, going into the game, market was very pro-Iowa. I mean, Tennessee was still favored into the game, but a lot of the late money, the bigger money was on Iowa, and obviously Tennessee far exceeded expectations. I obviously didn't have to do much because there was a big nothing on the other side, but I saw enough to give some optimism already on top of being a five-star, already on top of what we've seen in limited snaps in garbage time. But, yeah, I'd like to still see him a little bit in the spring game to get another look at the kid. My expectation is this. I mean, you're going from a guy that was a year-and-a-half starter there in Joe Milton, and I actually think Tennessee would be better at the position this year after losing a guy that was a guy that started, 15, 16 games the last 2 years.
I think the most impressive thing is we saw all his talent. I think we knew that. He got sacked 4 to 5 times in that first half. I don't think people remember that, and it did not bother him a bit.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there was an opportunity there for him to – I wouldn't say beat Tennessee because, again, I mean, Iowa's offense wasn't going to do much. But the way Iowa generated offense usually, I mean, if you're getting pressure, I mean, it's easy for a young quarterback to turn the ball over 3-4 times. If he'd have done that, that would have kept Iowa in the game, but he didn't, and obviously responded and had a much better second half.
Brad Powers Sports, each and every Friday he joins us. LSU spring game and the conversations we have with Blake Ruffino's down there and goes to practices. The defense has been a concern. He says the last week or two they've brought it on, though, a little bit. He's worried about the defensive front. They've got to get in the portal here to patch that up some.
Well, yeah, I go off. Number one, I'll say this. I like what they did. The defensive coaching staff had to make massive overall changes there. Bo Davis on that defensive front, as good as it gets as far as the defensive line coach, and surprised that they were able to get him from Texas. But they were surprised and were really expecting Smith and Wingo to come back, and they did. So that really hurt them from what expectations were. Then those two guys decided to take their talents in the NFL, where I know that they were thinking at least one of the two, if not both, would come back, and that certainly would have, you know, quelled some of their concerns there. Yeah, they're going to have to go to the portal. My expectation, LSU, you know, again, I need to see it a little bit. And another reason why I watch the spring game is an easy, you know, cheat code, cliff notes that I can, you know, sum up the entire spring practice in 2 hours. So I'll get a good look at them on Saturday. But expectation, 9-10 type of team, LSU this year.
More Brad Powers as we continue. Post them on Twitter at Billis King or the text line 615-844-5600.
Morning, interstate traffic's moving out here right now. It's just heavy, still coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County on 24 westbound. As you work your way towards the Nashville area, still tied up in Antioch on an accident with injuries. The fire department still has it blocked at Maxwell Road at Laverne-Couchville Pike. Again, try to avoid that intersection. That one looked pretty nasty. 6400 block of Charlotte Pike. That's a crash out on the west end in West Nashville. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging at TomahawkCrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
JB and the General.
You know, I'll do my Stugatz weekend observations. Stugatz, yep. From the Dan Levitard show. Patton, beep. One thing is sure. Beep. Actually, beep. Two things are sure. Beep. Tennessee is going to the Final Four. Beep. And the Nashville Predators, beep, are winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Beep. Those are my two observations. How about that?
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Yeah, just... a Texas is Michael in Atlanta. He said the host of the Bear Bryant Show was Charlie Thornton, who was also the sports information director. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't remember. I just assumed it was 40. Brad, that was a conversation we had prior. The spring game at Alabama is named the Golden Flake spring game or whatever, but it's Golden Flake chips. And I go back, you're younger, to the Bear Bryant Show on Sundays, where they always had Golden Flake and I believe a Coke sitting there. And one time they asked him after a loss, a rare loss, you want to take a bite of those chips? He said, I don't want no damn chips. Now, Brad, this would have been 60s, 70s, where that was real risque to say what he just did. And I'd forgotten that Golden Flake was still a somewhat of a sponsor for them. And, yeah, it's still attached to their spring game. But back to Kalen DeBoer and that roster and everything else. I really, Brad, here's my thinking today. And again, Brad's here for the gambling advice, not me, but I'm just giving you my amateur advice. I'm hoping the expectations are low. I know we're talking about Alabama, but by their brand name, because I think he'd exceed them if they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're already pretty low. I mean, the win total is 9.5.
Yeah.
So that's as low as it's been in quite some time. I mean, expectation is they got a 50-50 chance of losing three games in the regular season. Now, that hasn't happened since, you know, 2010 for Alabama. So it's already low in that regard. I mean, if you look at the futures market, that being the national title odds, I mean, Alabama is fifth. I mean, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon all have shorter odds. That hasn't been the case in quite some time where Alabama's, if not number one, usually two, and at the absolute worst, three. So they're certainly already a little bit lower than what they usually are. I'm with you. I want to see it, you know, when the market bottoms out on them, and I'm anticipating maybe we'll get some value at that point. I tried to get in front of that a lot of pessimism there. When I mean, the market was so early in releasing a lot of this stuff this year, earlier, much earlier than normal. I took an early pessimistic, you know, positions on Alabama under the win total against them in a few games that I thought they were being priced a little too heavily against Georgia and LSU in those game of the years. But I was just trying to get in front of market moves more often than not. It's not like I was, you know, really down on the hire of Kalen DeBoer. I'm not. I really like the hire.
Brad, next week on, I guess, Monday, we have a brand new portal. 15-day window through the end of the month. Now, I know that there's nothing we can do about it until we see the names and everything, but do you think we'll get some explosions that are interesting?
Yeah, I think we will. You've already seen it. I mean, it's not even open, and we've seen some guys, you know, the Bear Alexander drama there at USC. Damian Martinez at Oregon State. I think it's going to – I'll just put it this way. It hasn't been as active, obviously, as the winter portal there after the season in December. And it won't be as active again this time. But I do expect that if we're comparing apples to apples, I expect this spring portal to be more active than the last two spring portals that we've had. So, yeah, that's why I'm kind of like a lot of people have asked me to deep dive teams. Well, I'm not ready to deep dive yet because I don't think the roster is set yet. And I'm expecting, you know, some movement across all of college football, all 133 teams coming out of the spring. So I usually tell people, yeah, I think I got an idea, but ask me in 3 weeks because I do expect some movement where, you know, if you had to ask me, I'm sure a starter or two will move on average per team. That's just the expectation, especially the group of five level. I think my expectation is in the group of five teams could look maybe even quite a bit different than what they were in the spring.
With Bear Alexander, there's an assumption that I think is fair. He's a gifted player, a big-bodied, athletic defensive lineman who can make plays. And that is a commodity position. There are not a lot of defensive linemen standing around like the wide receivers in a portal. It's a very difficult position to find. So probably because of the uniqueness of the body type, the ability, and the position, you're going to put up with a little bit more. Along with that comes some drama, whatever that might be. He's been at Georgia. It was his next time. He was next up to star. He left. There was some problems there. Now it's Southern Cal, and now some different destination. And, Brad, couple that with they're about to create a rule which says you have unlimited transfer ability. Now, it can't be in the season, but we're going to see more of this. But with Bear Alexander, don't you put up with a little bit of it because he's a D lineman?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on where you are as a program, where your culture, how important it is to you. But yeah, there's always going to be more leeway, no matter who it is with your star players, no matter what the position group is. You know, because I read that he might not actually leave is the latest update, and that's when the last 12, 14 hours I was reading last night before I went to bed that there's a good chance that he might not end up leaving, and it was just a cash, you know, negotiating a cash tactic for him. To get more money from USC. USC can ill afford to lose a guy like him because they just don't have that type of bodies there for that program, especially moving to the Big Ten, more physical play this season. But yeah, very hot commodity, defensive tackles that you, like you mentioned, they're not growing on trees. Guys that are 300 plus pounds can be disruptors in the middle. There's just not a lot of those guys, like you mentioned, compared to running backs and wide receivers in the portal that you can go and grab and, you know, just plug and play.
Royal Payne says, if Brad was forced to pick a possible surprise SEC team for the season between A&M, Auburn, and OU, who would he go with?
Really good question. I can tell you the team that I'm highest on, that I have the most tickets on already, A&M. I like A&M. I know it's completely new coaching staff, but I think it's an upgrade. And I know the roster's been totally overhauled with a bunch of transfers, but I thought the market was way too short on them. I bet over their win total 7.5. Boy, week one games, everything for both those programs, as far as I'm concerned, Notre Dame and A&M. I think it's kind of a toss-up pick-up game, and that's where it's kind of being priced at right now. But the one that I have are those three teams that I have an over win total ticket is A&M.
Their total, is it still sitting there, Brad, at 7?
It was 7.5. It's up to 8.5 now.
Wow.
So 8.5 is saying that, hey, this is going to be a good first season for Elko, and the schedule sets up that way. It's there's not a lot of losable games for them. I actually, you know, if they were to win the Notre Dame game, and again, I think that's kind of a toss-up, they could be sitting there with a really good record heading into November. This is a team that there is no Georgia on the schedule. Alabama's not on the schedule either for A&M. So, I mean, McNeese State after Notre Dame, at Florida, Bowling Green, Arkansas, Missouri at home. Mississippi State doesn't scare me. LSU's at home. New Mexico State's at home. I mean, Texas, you know, I'm glad, very happy that the Texas game and that rivalry's back on the schedule, but they get Texas at home. So, I mean, this is a team that's not going to be a significant underdog in any of their 12 games. So, and I Elko took Duke and won immediately. I mean, and there both years. So, I think College State, the Aggieland's going to be pretty happy this year.
Is it a concern at Notre Dame with Riley Leonard's limited availability this spring with the ankle?
Yeah, I mean, when you got a new quarterback, you want him to get as many reps as possible. I'm going to go contrarian, outside the box thinking. It could end up being a positive because him not being there, taking a lot of the reps, has given more reps to Kenny Minchie, C.J. Carr, and obviously Steve Angeli. Him being injured, Riley Leonard I'm talking of, could actually keep that quarterback room together. Maybe no, I mean, I'm being very optimistic, pie in the sky, but I think there's a much greater chance that they keep four guys on the roster post-spring. My expectation was one of those guys are definitely going to go post-spring, and now with them getting extra reps because of the injury, might actually benefit Notre Dame in the future. So, it's not caution flags yet as far as the injury. Ask me if fall camp and he's limited, or heck, even summer stuff, he can't be doing, he's not 100% doing the conditioning and some of the OTA stuff that they're allowed to do now. If he's not full go then I'd be a little bit concerned on Riley Leonard.
Jim in Jupiter, Florida, asked Brad, he says this is not really a gambling question, but does he think that Coach DeBoer at Alabama at some point in his time there will win a national title?
Yeah, good question. Certainly capable. I mean, the guy wins everywhere he goes. I mean, whether he's a coordinator or head coach at every single level. I'll put odds to it because that's how my brain thinks now. If you told me 5-6 years, you know, decent odds, probably the no is probably slightly favored. That he won't. I mean, that's just the reality of college football. Not everyone's Nick Saban. I think made it seem so easy. Oh, you can win multiple national titles. I think Kalen DeBoer is a top five type of coach. So I guess if you're at a top five program, you got a top five coach. I'm just thinking through the odds here. Probably the yes should be slightly favored. I just, the thing my hang up is, the familiarity is a little bit of an issue there, and he's just going to be under the microscope for a guy that's been a small school guy, so to speak, and a West Coast guy. You know, how do you handle that? Not that this has nothing to do with his coaching ability. I think it's exceptional. It's just when you're under so much more scrutiny, so much more spotlight, and it's not necessarily about, you know, just being a ball coach. It's about handling all this CEO-type stuff. That would be my only concern with Kalen DeBoer.
Historically, this is really interesting. All the hires after the Bear, and most of them did not turn out. Nick obviously was a 5-run grand slam. But let's just go Bill Curry. Bill Curry left out of there under duress. Somebody threw a brick through the window there at the office. It was awful. He left for Kentucky. He left Alabama for Kentucky. That year he left, they tied for the SEC championship. It was a three-way tie with them in Tennessee and Auburn. Remember, there were no divisions. And he won. He won the league that year in a tie. and they didn't want anything to do with him, ran him out of there. Of course, they turned Bobby Bowden down to hire him, which was a brilliant historic move. After that, they brought in Stallings. Now, that was a good hire. Stallings won a national championship in 92. That worked out. After that, they hired DeBose. Now, that ended, Brad, in a catastrophe, but in 1999, he not only won the league and beat Florida, he beat Florida again in the SEC championship game. Yes, after that, it collapsed. It collapsed off the flat earth into the abyss. Then they go with Mike Price, right? No. They go with Coach Fran, and Coach Fran won there and got out because he thought he was lied to about the NCAA. So he left for A&M, but he won well there. And then they hired Price. Of course, he never got on the field. Hey, Shula, as disastrous as Mike Shula was, and I'm not here to say it wasn't, he had a 10-3 season his next to last year there. I mean, he did. Mike freaking Shula, who shouldn't have been the head coach there other than he had a good last name. My point is, it's kind of interesting. Even the disasters, Brad, there won, at least briefly.
And at least on paper, for what he has coming into the job, is career-wise, I would put DeBoer has a better resume coming into the job than any of those guys.
All those guys together. No question.
Yep.
No question. I'll answer the question. I think given a 5-6 year period, yes, I think he wins a national championship somewhere in there. I'd rather be on the yes side of that answer than the no side of that answer. Let me put it that way. Yeah, let me put it that way.
I don't disagree. I know I originally said no, but the more I thought about it, yes should probably be his play favorite. That job does something to you, I think.
No question.
And I'm not sure he's totally ready for it yet.
Well, we're talking about the Kentucky job, the basketball job. And Scott Drew yesterday turned it down. Whenever it happened, it was reported on Thursday early that he had turned the job down. And Scott Drew's done a fantastic job at Baylor. He won a national championship there, and he inherited a total mess. And I kept saying, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think personality-wise he's ready for the invasiveness, which is that job in Kentucky. And not only that, but supposedly his wife is, and I'm not saying this to be negative, but more of an introvert, right? Well, you're not going into Lexington and having any privacy at all, right? As the basketball coach or the basketball wife, they're going to be following you down the aisle checking the milk you ordered and you bought and what soda pop you like. And, oh, do they buy beer? Oh, my God, what about that? Same with the football job at Alabama, right, Brad?
Yep, very similar.
I mean, you're not going to be, if you're driving to Bible study, there's somebody probably following you there. That's just the way it is. All right, we'll get to break. More Brad Powers as we continue.
Good morning. There's still a couple of accidents getting some attention down here in Antioch. It's been busy with accidents, Murfreesboro, Pike, and Nashboro. They're trying to move those vehicles right now. This one had some injuries at Maxwell Road at Laverne Couchville Pike. Again, fire department still on the scene of that wreck. Still some volume coming through the Antioch area on 24 westbound, coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. Plenty of radar out here this Friday morning. Be careful throughout the day. A 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. Visit starleasing.com to learn more.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Start your experience at Bob's with the fried calamari or fresh scallops seared in Texas burnt honey. All the beef at Bob's Steak and Chop House are USDA prime cut, from the traditional fillet of tenderloin and ribeye to the adventurous Kansas City bone-in strip. They even have two different surf and turf options. And if you're looking for the other white meat, Bob's Steak and Chop House serves a dry-aged pork tomahawk with homemade applesauce. Fresh seafood is on the menu, from salmon to scampi, and even fresh lobster tail. For reservations, give them a call or log on to the Omni Nashville Hotel website. Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/hands-only CPR and become a lifesaver today.
The 2024 Atlanta Braves are on a mission to bring home a seventh straight NL East title and head back to the Fall Classic.
Harris to the warning track. Harris will leap, and he got it! He caught the ball! You have got to be kidding me! Swung on, belt, deep right field, gone!
Listen to the NL East defending champs, the Atlanta Braves, only on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The world's largest indoor cocktail party, The Bill King Show.
All right, a couple more minutes with Brad Kirkland down in lovely central Georgia, Macon, Georgia. Good country down there, man. Says, hey guys, ask Brad, what's the betting line on Carson Beck winning the Heisman? Brad, I assume he's right at the top.
Yeah, he's right there with Quinn Ewers. He's one of the, I would put, quote, co-Heisman favorites, right around 8-9-1, shopping around. Nothing that I bet yet. You know me, I like a little bit of long shots to bet as far as the Heisman market goes, because it tends to be the case that long shots, more often than not in that market, tend to win. I usually look in 20 to 1 or greater is the positions I usually take. So, Jane Daniels was, 25 to 1 last year, including. So, and I did have a ticket on him. So, I haven't made a bet. I mean, do I think he deserves to be a co-favorite? Yeah, absolutely, Quinn Ewers. In fact, I put him ahead of Quinn Ewers. I think he's the top returning quarterback talent in college football.
Brad, are the days of you getting value like Lamar Jackson 99-1, when you cash that ticket, it's going to be hard to get another one like that, right?
Yep, days are coming to an end already. Let's use local Nico. Hendon Hooker was 80-1. He was right there in November. Could have won the Heisman. I had an 80-1 ticket. Flash forward just a couple years from that, into the future. Nico's barely played. Started one game. Certainly, he's a talent. You're struggling to find 25-1. The opening numbers on him were like 15-1. I think there can still be value, but man, as far as the payouts, 80-1, 100-1, those days are long gone. I think you'd be very happy, like I was last year, showing a profit in the Heisman markets with a 20-1 ticket.
Now, I think Nico's a heck of a talent, but he, until a bowl game, the bowl game, had not taken a meaningful snap for Tennessee. None. Played a bowl game, looked good. And 15, 20 to 1, somewhere in there. Yeah, that market's tightened a lot. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. A guy like that, the fifth or sixth favorite to win it. I mean, just 5-6 years ago, a guy like that would have been, like Nico, would have been 15th. If we're stack ranking the shortest odds and the favorites, he'd have been like 15th to 20th. Not 15 or 20 to 1. I'm talking on the odds board, 15th to shortest to 20th, which would have mean he'd have been in that 80 to 1 to 100 to 1 range.
Hendon Hooker was on his way until that South Carolina game where he blew his knee, and, of course, they did not defend South Carolina the whole night.
Yeah, he was the favorite. Pretty much it was right around even money at that point that he was going to win it. So that was a tough beat for old BP when you had an 80 to 1 ticket.
Did you have a chance to cash that? I know there are options to cash it once you get late, right?
Yeah, there is. I don't do that. So
you've told me that. You never do that. Do you let it ride?
Yep. It's never. I always say, is it life changing? It's just not life changing. If it was well into five figures, and I mean 50 grand up, and I had a chance to make, you know, 20 grand or something like that, doing something, maybe I'd consider it, but no, and usually in that case, when I think I had $100, so it was 8 grand, I would have won. Just wasn't going to be life changing enough for me to do anything in that market.
And what would they have given you for it, week 13 or whatever?
Yeah, good question. Maybe at that point it might have been worth 2 grand, maybe.
Yeah, that's not going to change your day.
No.
Yeah, if you've got one and you can cash it and it's 20, 25K and that's the safe, you may want to do that. You know, I probably would. I'd probably go ahead and open up door number one and say, I'll take what's behind door number one, knowing what I've got. But
yep.
Brad Powers with us, Brad Powers Sports. Brad, tell everybody how they can get your info. And by the way, Tom said he got Nico on BetUS. That's Costa Rica, right? 30 to 1, which is, I guess, pretty good right
now.
That's
as good of a price as I've seen in the market. And I've been shopping for 15 bucks. So that right there, I tell anybody because everyone's asking me, oh, is there value on this? I always ask, did you shop at every book that you possibly can? If you did so and you took the absolute best odds that you could find shopping at 10 or 12 books, then certainly you made a better bet than 95% of other people in the market. So 30 to 1, Nico, thumbs up for me. I would personally make that bet.
Brad, we'll let you get out of here. Tell everybody how they can get your football info.
BradPowerSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab. Free right now, the spring guide. If you're looking for, I already did the shopping for you. If you're looking for the national title future odds board, I did it. I looked at 20 different books. You get that and a heck of a lot more. Schedules, returning experience, you name it. It's in that spring guide for free. If you like what you see, you can sign up for the season. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page.
See you next week, sir.
All right. Take care, Bill.
There he is, Mr. Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports. Outstanding work each and every week. Yeah, I had a parlay, man. The Seminoles. How many times have I said Seminole baseball in year two? And I don't know if I thought they'd be this good, but they are. They appear to be. But that's the one that cost me the end. They won the game. I had a run line of 1.5, which I was all excited. I'd forgotten I went with a run line in that ball game. I thought it was a money line, but it wasn't. The app does not lie. I had lied to myself, is what I had done. Yeah, Tom's in South Carolina. He still cannot get all those apps. So he has to go with BetUS, which works. Now, he said to go get your money, it's kind of a hassle. And you have to trade him some Bitcoin or something. I don't know. All right, we'll get the last break. Friday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. There's still a couple of accidents getting some attention down here in Antioch. It's been busy with accidents, Murfreesboro, Pikett, Nashboro. They're trying to move those vehicles right now. This one had some injuries at Maxwell Road at Laverne Couchville Pike. Again, fire department still on the scene of that wreck. Still some volume coming through the Antioch area on 24 westbound, coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. Plenty of radar out here this Friday morning. Be careful throughout the day. A 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now, Veterans Restoration is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Veterans Restoration, serving Middle Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. For residential or commercial, fire, water, or storm damage restoration, give the pros a call today at 615-838-8407. 615-838-8407. That's Veterans Restoration. They're professionals who care.
Attention business owners, WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
And now, Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways and keep an eye out for motorcycles and never drink and drive. This message is brought to you by locally owned and operated Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, our full-service body shop. So give the pros a call today at 615-593-5699. 615-593-5699. That's Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, going the extra mile for safety. They're professionals who care.
Hey, this is George Plaster. Looking forward to joining the WNSR family Monday, April the 29th with Kelly Holcomb, Watson Brown, and Billy Derrick. We'll continue to broadcast from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, but now we have the ability to take your phone calls 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, April 29th. We'll get it started. Hope you'll join us on Nashville Sports Radio.
King is the motherfucking 12th data point of college football.
About the options viewing wise this weekend, beginning tonight into the weekend. Obviously, the Masters. I'm going to have a lot of the college baseball on the spring football games. Check a little bit of that out, half-heartedly. Admittedly, half-heartedly, but I'll check a little bit of that out. Fun time, man. Tom in Myrtle Beach says, taking my mom to the spring game tomorrow, it will be her first time in the shoe. Well, that sounds fantastic. That sounds fun. That will be a good trip. I meant to ask Brad if he got to hear the Ryan Day Spaces broadcast yesterday with J-Book, Dave Biddle, and Bucknuts. and the foundation, Cardale Jones. Anything new? Mark Pope hired yet? Any? Yeah, Hoptown Boys said, did you see this post? Apparently, they've raised money, some boosters, and they've got $4 million for Mark Pope to go out and start paying dudes. Better have more than that. That's a good start, though. No. That's a good start. That ain't enough. That's not enough. Now, let's reiterate. There's been no announcement. There's an assumption that he is their guy, but there is no announcement to date that I know of. So I do want to repeatedly throw a little caution to the wind, but I do believe this is probably the end game. Michael in Atlanta said, Bill, one more thing regarding Bear and his show, his TV show. Probably true to the rumor about the Coke consumption at the beginning of the show. A bottle of Coke was open in front of him, in front of Charlie Thornton and Bear at the ending of the shows. What was evident was how full the bottle was at the conclusion of the show, especially after a loss, which was rare, only 8 times in regular season between 71 and 80. Yeah, I'd always heard that. That's kind of like the Mickey Mouse, the infamous story that we perpetuate, even though I was told by Howard Snellenberger, who was on the staff, that is not true. But when he was at Kentucky, they had a sports banquet of some sort. Adolph Rupp, the legendary Adolph Rupp, young Bear Bryant, early 50s. And they reward Adolph Rupp at the banquet with a Cadillac, and they give Bear a Mickey Mouse watch. Now, whether that's true or not, which it's not, it's funny enough to where that will live in infamy on the show. And the story about, I think it was chips. Hey, coach, you want some chips? But I don't want no damn chips. It's not a good imitation. I'm not acting like I sounded like the Bear there. That would be funny. Or the Shug Jordan story about Tucker Fredrickson. I'm told that's true. I don't know. You Auburn fans, check off on that. I'd love to have a clip of that. Patton would have to beep that out because there was a major slip-up if that indeed happened while he was trying to wordsmith the name Tucker Fredrickson, except change the first initial and the first and last name, swapped them. You imagine that in the 60s? If you said the word crap back then on air, it was major trouble, I would assume. That's funny, though. In that case, it really doesn't matter whether it was true or not. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I love it. Oh, Hoptown Boy, did you see this, Bill? Mitch Barnhart will be on Kentucky Sports Radio this morning. Wow. Wow. Hoptown Boy, I don't know the link there. Is there a link to that? If somebody's got a link, I may plug that in. I think somebody in the borough will have that on. Heck, Cosby Cattaman, he's called that show before, I'm told. He'll probably have that on. He hates Kentucky. He doesn't want Kentucky to win in horseshoes. Marbles. Tupperware. Basket weaving. They don't win in any of that. Now, he does like some of their bourbon. He does like that. And he does love Keeneland. He likes the ponies. He digs in some ponies. All right. That's going to wrap up our week. See you Monday. I'll have a fantastic weekend. Coach Pete heading down to the Masters for Sunday. Good for him. Flash Bob.